Podcast Network Asia.
Welcome to Sage Conversations, where we believe that life and even the challenges that come with it is the greatest teacher there is. I'm Mara, and in this space, we try to uncover the wisdom behind these experiences, hopeful that these will serve as inspiration for us to achieve breakthroughs and elevate our lives.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Sage Conversations. We are back for yet another week. I actually have a guest over for today. So I did mention a lot about, you know, like in the past episodes, I've been talking a lot about relationships, you know, of course, relationships, not just with the self, but also like with other people. I've brought up a lot of thoughts and sentiments about community, about support, and being here on this podcast is one way to, you know, build a community, but it would also be cool to expand that community by inviting some friends, some people over. So today's topic is very, very close to my heart. You know, being someone who is very attuned to, you know, movement, dance, and just even art, pop culture, and all of that. So we are talking about creativity. And to join me in this conversation about creativity, we have Maria, a good friend of mine. So say hi, Maria.
Hello, everybody. Hi, Mara. I'm very grateful to be here. It's like such a cool topic. And I love how you're doing the whole, I'm talking about something and then I'm doing it. So,
yep. That's what creativity is about. You know, like just more than it just being an expression and, you know, like an expression of the self. Like it's a, there's a different kind of sensation that comes with creativity, with tackling it. And, you know, I felt like the perfect person to talk to about this is you, because, you know, you're very active in different scenes, in different art scenes, you know, and, by art, it's not just like visual arts, because, you know, a lot of the times people think, oh, creativity, it means that you actually have to do something, like it has to have like a byproduct, you know, like,
I have to be making a watercolor thing. It's not an outfit. Like, it's not the food you eat. It's how you design your journal.
Yeah.
But those are pretty creative too.
Yeah. Like you said. Like even cooking, you know, like this whole thing about, you know, plating your dish, or even just coming up with, you know, what ingredients can I put together today? Like that's creativity in itself. And, you know, this conversation aims to highlight, you know, creativity, not just as a way of putting something out into the tangible world, but creativity as something very intuitive.
Correct. You know, and very natural to everybody. We're fundamentally always making things. We're always creating our lives. So we always have like our fingerprints off of everything. So we are essentially always creating. We're already creators.
Ever since, you know, it's just that, you know, since we were kids, and like kids that didn't even have like a super active consciousness, like, you know, babies are very creative, you know, with the way they navigate around space when they're learning how to walk, you know, that's creativity in itself. And, you know, speaking of youth, like, let's start at like the kind of shallow part first, you know, like that, that like not shallow, like doesn't mean anything, but you know what I mean? Like surface level. The surface level of what creativity is like. So like, what was that moment that you had that you realized that, oh, I'm actually capable of creating something, you know, that time that you were able to be mindful or like be aware that, you know, even the little things I do each day are expressions of creativity. So like when was that moment?
When was that?
Yeah.
Just to preface for the listeners, so some of the stuff that I do is that I do game design. So that's writing and layout. And then I do somatic stuff with dance. And I'm also a visual artist. So I don't think there was a specific time where I felt like, okay, maybe there was a specific time where I felt like, okay, I'm going to be an artistic professional. Like, I want to make this a thing. Like, I feel like when people have something artistic that it's a hobby, and then they graduate it into their thing. It's a different birthing process, right? But for me, in terms of like wanting to create stuff, I'm gonna say the very, I don't know if it's a controversial opinion, but I feel like really, I genuinely believe that everybody's an artist. I genuinely believe that, I forgot if it was Picasso or Van Gogh that, you know, every child is an artist already and it just gets out of them. I think it was Picasso. And I feel there's that kind of naivety in a sense. There's that kind of sense making in the world when you do that. And once we pare down the idea of, okay, art is whatever is just in museums, but like also acknowledge that you making a wonderful scrapbook, you picking the right wallpaper is just as artistic, is just as meaningful, is just as, it's so lived that it's also how you create, you know? And I feel like so much of it is also you taking power over those kinds of expressions and that kind of
life. I love it. And you know, you talk about power, and there is empowerment in creativity, you know, it's just that whole thing where we look for interests, you know, something something tickles our curiosity, and then we try it out. And just going beyond that notion of, you know, I have to be a master at it to be good at it. Just trying it out and discovering a different way to express like that, and then being surrounded by people who are doing the same thing, you know, that's really like
that really creates permission.
So aside from that, like the expression of your individuality and having the opportunity to share that with other people who are doing the same thing, like creativity sometimes, like it also has a lot to do with, you know, reflecting the society that you grew up in, you know, reflecting your upbringing and reflecting like the surroundings, the environment that you grew up in. And, you know, that can either encourage you to keep going, you know, how you were brought up,
or not.
Like it can completely hinder you, and you know, and creativity can be seen as something that will distract you from what you're actually, you know, what you're supposed to do in life.
Hey, you. Sorry to interrupt your podcast listening pleasure. Wonderful choice of podcast, by the way. My name is Sam O, and I have a podcast too. It's called The Narrow Door. It's an ecumenical podcast, which means we talk about everything Christian. I mean, I got a panel on everything, so go give it a listen after this one, okay? All right, thanks. See you there.
Yeah, so yeah, we definitely need to address the elephant in the room, which is that our society thinks itself as a rational, logical, scientific thing, as if humans are robots that could be copy-pasted, right? So there's this almost very normalized self-denial that we are more than that, that we are irrational, that we are dreaming, that we are emotional, that we are spiritual, right? So there's this sense of self-policing a lot. And for that inner artist or that inner child to not die means that you police less, that you allow for more. I remember one time that I brought a bunch of crayons and a bunch of pencils to a coffee shop. And I was just doodling because that's also how I think. It's, I feel like it's just a way for me to visualize what I'm thinking about, where I'm at. And then I remember one of my friends going like, what the hell are you doing? And it looks like a kindergarten class. Because I'm like, my other friends are also like, it's the first time they really held like crepas when in their 20s. Right. No, in their 20s.
Well, that's true though. Yeah.
Right? Because you don't really like, have that kitty stuff when you're older.
Yeah. And like you had to in high school because because you had art class. Yeah, but to do it on your in your own will, on your own will, it's different.
Yeah, just
it's,
for the fuck of it, right? You just do it. But the thing is, I was like, oh, so what's wrong with it? Like what's wrong with like looking like a kindergarten class in like a coffee shop? And she got into it and it was super fun. And it was very, I feel like people think that everything needs to be productive. just like what you said, everybody needs to be already an expert at something for them to feel like, oh, this is part of me. I'm doing this thing. Yeah. I'm like, no, girl, you could just enjoy drawing the thing. You can just enjoy cooking the thing. You don't need to be master.
That's it.
You don't need to be. Yeah. Like the very act and process of it, of smushing stuff together and figuring out, oh, I hate it. Oh, I like it. Or, oh, I feel like this looks like a, or I feel like, oh, wow, I keep drawing flowers. I must love flowers or something. It's very, what do you call this? It's very, it's an easy freedom that you can give to yourself. And I feel like,
I love that.
I feel like a lot of people go into the arts or go into like improv class, theater or something, because they just need an outlet where they don't need to like kill themselves with all this policing. And I'm just saying that you don't need these super formal environments to really have an access to that. Just put a timer on, put those fun stuff on your table, and then just do the thing, and then just be like a kid and that you're playing. And then there you go. You're already giving yourself permission, which is usually the antidote to feeling caged by your expression.
And you know, even that whole thing that you said, like it's an easy freedom. And one of the first things I thought of when you said that was, you know, creativity in this society is seen as such a, like it's an act of courage and something out of the ordinary when it's something that we all have. Like it's something that's so accessible to all of us in just different modalities and mediums. That's the thing.
I feel like people think it's courageous because we have a lot of shame or judgment against it. But I feel like the people who shame and judge people who are expressing themselves are just jealous that, oh, I can't let myself do that, so I'm not gonna let you do that. So I feel like a lot of closeted, right? So a lot of closeted artists look for these small circles where you have a bunch of enablers who are like, yeah, write that poem. Yeah, write that fiction. Yeah, draw that thing. And because everywhere else is this very hurt, closeted society of like, I didn't allow myself to do that, so you're not allowed to do that. You know, I remember there was a time when I tried to kill my artist legit for 10 years. Because I came from a science high school. I'm actually really smart.
Yes, you are.
I'm actually really smart.
Come on.
It's, and then I felt like my family really prioritized that. Oh, she's good at math. Oh, she's like intelligent. She likes books. Let's reward that, but not the artistic things, right? So I tried so hard. Like, I swear to God, I try. It's like all those gay people who are like, I tried so hard to be straight. I'm not. So it's like, you try so hard to be the box that everybody prefers, but it's just not you. And I feel like for everybody who's like, who has the shopping cart of that watercolor class or like is just pining to be in that creative writing class, it means that there's this really, really, really honest, beautiful part of you that's just screaming, yelling, kicking to be freed or to be shown. Legit, the first time I wrote again and drew again, because a friend was like asking me, hey, I really want to read that. I legit cried, like balls to the walls cried, because it was like, you see this part of me that's so intimate, honest, genuine, free. Right. Yeah. I feel like it expresses a lot of so much more facets of me. Like, sure, there's like a logical part of me, but there's also someone who loves language, who's more colorful, who's more wacky, you know? Yeah. And I feel like it's an incredible amount. It's an incredible act of self-love to let people see that part of you. Because that's the thing. It's brave because you're naked, because your art, they could see your art, they could see you. Yeah. And that's the thing. Yeah. People are scared to be seen, right? So I genuinely acknowledge that. But at the same time, you deserve to be seen. You deserve to be loved in your most vicious, viscous, weird, like unorthodox self. Like, yes, like everybody needs every little bit of your magic, your truth. And I mean, I've done other things. Like I did Archie, I've made money other ways. And I can tell you there's a different high when people compensate you or connect with you on the level of who you actually are. Like this is your thing, right? Like it's a thing that you actually really give a shit about. And that's what I want to say, that a lot of people say, oh, it doesn't make money. I'm like, no, girl, like you don't know how this thing feels or how it enlivens you, how it's so self-sustaining. I feel like that act of bravery and just stepping into that, being willing to provide space for that, you know? For example, you bird your creativity, it's a zombie. You don't need to make it into a horse that's going to be your career immediately. But what I'm saying is that you can afford some kindness. Like you could give it a bath, you could give it a room, you could give it some time, right? You could buy some nice pencils. So it's very, it's just this part of you, this bone, this, you know, dead limb that you just need to reanimate, you know?
Yeah.
And then
you feel better.
You feel better. Yeah. It's like, oh, wow. Oh my God. I gained a new bone. What? And then, suddenly you have more energy. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's very important to point out that, you know, some people, like there was a time, like even I felt that way, that my creativity was like the creative me, the artist me was a different person. Like I didn't see it as like an extra, you know, another limb that I can take advantage of, you know, that I can use that will actually get me to places whatsoever. And I feel like a lot of people there, you know, there are also a lot of people who feel that way. You know, that like it's a dual, like there's a duality to them. But still, it still feels like very separate. Like, what's that term? Ah, it's at the tip of my tongue.
Like a mask?
Like, not even a mask.
Alter ego.
But it's like an alter ego. Exactly. Something like that. Like a drag name, like a different persona altogether.
Yeah, I have a pseudonym for my game design. I'm Sword Prince there. So I get it. I get it that you have this.
But like, what kind of situation will call for more awareness or mindfulness when it comes to seeing like the creative part of you is still like is still you? Or because there's a certain detachment to it sometimes if you feel like, oh, it's an alter ego. Like I feel like a completely different person when I'm pursuing creative things. But when do I need to start bringing in that awareness so that I can still, you know, integrate it with who I am as a whole?
I feel like there's like two things about that. I think one, I think society has this misguided notion that we're one thing and we need to be consistent. I feel like we're so multidimensional. We're so complex. We have so many different roles, and that you can definitely have a space where you like break. Just think about sex. Like you're definitely you behave differently there versus like when you're cooking and you're a mom or something. Right. So I feel like this permission to do something that rebalances everything else in your life doesn't actually negate. It doesn't contradict one another. It actually synergizes and balances each other out. You know how like Japanese need to go crazy in the festivals because they're so methodical in their everyday life.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there's that natural, like this beautiful contrast, this dialectic conversation of like, oh, I'm this and I'm that. Parang there's like, it's actually very natural to be paradoxes. Like I really it's normal, guys. It's very not this side of you is not dishonoring this side of you just because they look like enemies. No, it's very it's actually your best friends, you know, because you actually balance each other out. Like yin yang, you know, these opposites naturally dance together. So it's beautiful. Yeah. And I think another thing that I was thinking about in terms of like, when is it escapism or when is it a lie?
Yeah.
I feel like I get that a lot in game design because people think that, oh my God, these nerds, they're just sitting down there in their video game, you know, reading books, not trying to socialize. No, you're invalid. so I understand. I understand. I mean, as a somatic person, I'm like, yes, I get it. They need to move their butts. But there's also this kind of, I feel like people don't make space for fancy or like imaginations and just dreaming because they think it's useless.
Hello, my friend. Life is quite the journey, and we're all so different, yet so alike in our humanity. Hi, I'm Juliana Papo, and I believe that we have this need to nourish our mind, body, and spirit together on this journey called life for us to keep going, for us to better ourselves, and for us to get closer to fulfillment, to happiness, one step at a time. Join me as I share stories of inspiration, life realizations, and nuggets of wisdom from my journey and the journey of others I encounter.
For me, I feel like I love dream work. I love fiction so much. Like, even if my uncles don't get it, I love fiction so much. Right? Because I feel like, okay, if I'm going to like science this, if for the people who are like, oh, no, I hate that. I don't get why it's there. I feel like in Jungian psychoanalysis, they have like a perfect explanation of how the limbic brain, so that's the older part of your brain, it has denser synapses and it's more concerned with images. It's more concerned with things. It doesn't really have logic yet. It doesn't even have language yet. So I feel like when people fantasize about these images and these like sequences, these impossible journeys, even stories, even movies, right? Yeah. You're taking care of that part of the brain. You're knitting things in that part of the brain. So actually that daydreaming stuff is actually so essential to like self-discovery and self checking in with yourself. So when you're going into a book, I feel like if there's an intention that, oh, okay, I love myself and I'm giving this to myself, it's not escapist then. Because it's escapism when you hate this life and then you try to escape into here. I feel like Neil Gaiman has like a perfect quote for that. The people who name or who torture the escapees are usually the ones maintaining the cage.
Oh, yeah.
When people create these beautiful dreamlike situations, energies, states of mind, it's almost like you're not allowed to be that happy. You're not allowed to be that interesting. You're not allowed to be that magical. You're not allowed to be that funny. You're not allowed to be, you know? So it's like a lot of a lot of just this horrible no energy.
Yeah, there's just like no, like one no, you can't.
And just don't do that. It's something, right? So, but if you think about it, anything can be addicting. Or it could be a route of escape. Oh, you could use porn. Yeah. You could use food. You could use vape. You could, you know, you could
even
use sleep.
You know, right? Even keep up. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, but and it's never like, okay, think about it like this. Every medicine at some dosage is poison, right? Yeah. So I want to say that for a lot of people, I get it that you see, oh my God, this thing is so poisonous because you're like, it's escapist. It's a lie, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, yo, bro, like dosage, right?
Yeah.
So dosage and slash the skill, right? So for example, if you have someone who's very masterful in that kind of work, who could call you out, who has great bullshit detector, but also good guiding principles in terms of like, you know what? I see this in you. And then you can step into this. The work becomes less of a distraction to something you don't like and instead becomes a method of facing yourself, right? There's really just an exposure that's necessary to good work instead of like saying that, oh, everything's like crap, you know? So
Like you have to stay in the world. My mentor would always tell me that, you know, you like there is a, because I'm currently taking like a yoga philosophy class, right? So there's this part that, you know, you think of yourself as like having two duties, like one duty, which is to serve devotionally, like serve with love. And then the part of you that just has to, you know, do the roles of that society is expecting from you.
I need to be a person.
Like you need to be a person, you know, you need to be a muggle. right?
Yeah.
Mm-mm. And that sweet spot between the two, right? Like, I can't just be a daughter, a sister, and like this and that.
Mm-hmm.
And then negate that service that I have to do, that service, that sense of purpose that I have to do and execute, the one with love and devotion. Not that you're not doing, you know, wearing the hats without love and devotion, but like there's a different kind of, like it's a different kind of love and devotion that you pour into it, like into that other role that you need to play. Mm-hmm. And then at the same time, if you put too much here on like the other side and completely leave out your societal roles, take off all those hats, then that is like where are you at this point in this world? So there's really that sweet spot, you know?
Definitely, like, yeah. There's like a middle way according to Buddha and stuff. This reminds me of like, so one of the games it's not launching anymore, but one of the games we were developing, two of the stats of your main character is actually spirit and ego. And they're both positive, right? Because spirit is like, okay, I'm connected to the divine. I'm allness. I'm love. But at the same time, you're floating and you cannot interact with the NPCs. You cannot interact with like the normal objects, right? Because you're just God, right?
Yeah.
And then the ego's like, oh, you could actually converse really well with people. You're actually very relatable. You can bring certain objects and fix the puzzles and stuff. And I feel like it's such a good metaphor of how, you know, like a lot of spiritual texts say, get rid of the ego, right? But the thing is, bro, you're not enlightened yet. You have one. You have an ego. You have a persona, right? So even these identities, these roles, these are like part of your persona. So even becoming an artist, like, I get it that it's kind of more spiritual in the sense that you're tapping into something vast, divine, and stuff like that. You're channeling. But I also understand the whole grounding it and having like both hands, both like there's a part of me that I really want to encourage, that is, you could fashion your persona, you could fashion your ego, and it's not like a horrible thing to do. You could play this game, you could, like, you know how they say that life's a stage and then you're wearing a character, but you're actually the actor, so so the character is the ego and stuff. So you're a bad actor if you don't buy into your character, right?
Yeah.
So even if you're an actor, right? So even if you're like God essence, if you don't buy into I am Maria Bison, you're kind of botching the whole concept of having a Maria Bison.
Yeah.
Right?
Like you're just sabotaging the whole show.
You're a bad actor. You're not doing your thing. You're supposed to act, right? So there's that whole... That's why I was talking about paradoxes a while ago. There's this whole beautiful paradox that we are all infinite, but we're also very like this limited persona ego things, right? And I want to say that you could definitely dance in between them. It's super, it's super fine. Like, it's so last century or last decades that we are just going to focus on one thing. And then, I'm going to be business and then I'm not going to be spiritual, or I'm gonna be spiritual. Or like, I'm going to be an artist and I'll do this thing and I'm going to do these things, or I'm not going to be an artist. Like, bruh,
And like, then you're like, just, when you're an artist and then you decide to go down like a business route, you're a sellout.
So
how?
Like, that's so old school.
Function now?
Oh my God. Okay, like all those thoughts, like put them in a trash bin, because it's really, really old belief systems. It's not so okay, for example, you find yourself as a creative soul and then you can't
meet
yourself, and then you can't really make plans, and you suck at commitments. Like, bro, you're not gonna exist. Like you're gonna to quote Babastusin mo yung art mo, it's actually a sacrilegious your own art to do that, because you can't provide with a proper container. So guys, like, just step into the whole belief that it's like two and two together. It's never
one can sustain the other and vice versa,
and they need each other. Actually,
and they need each other.
Everybody, thank you so much for listening to Sage Conversations. If you found value in our content, share your thoughts with us on Instagram and Facebook, and tag us at Sage Conversations Podcast. Please subscribe and share this podcast with people you know and love. Every bit will help us grow our circle. Once again, thank you so much. May you be well and may you feel loved. Until the next episode.
The views and opinions expressed by the podcast creators, hosts, and guests do not necessarily reflect the official policy and position of Podcast Network Asia, the hosts of the program, or other programs of the network. Any content provided by the people on the podcast are of their own opinion and are not intended to malign any religion, ethnic group, club, organization, company, individual, or anyone or anything.